Can you tell us a little bit about some of the notable recommendations from this report by the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission?
Well, look, I think it's the two big thrusts of the ACCC's recommendations are a lot more regulation and a lot more intervention in the market, and most people think that most consumers think that's a good thing, but it's never the case in any energy market in the world where intervention and regulation actually leads to better results, I'm afraid. And I guess I've used the analogy that you know, like agriculture, you could, for example, you could regulate the price of potatoes down to 1 cent a kilogram. It doesn't mean that people are going to produce those potatoes. And that's the problem here, is that the ACCC have promised to regulate prices below the actual cost of production. And in fact, I've been pinged over 30 times breaking the law trying to do that. They're trying to do the same thing again. Part of the problem is that investors that we really do need to invest in the market will just desert the market. In fact, they already are deserting the market. One of our major investors in Queensland Generation, for example, one of the investors that invest in the very, very long term, the Ontario Teachers Fund, they're now trying to exit the Australian market because it's just so bad, so much regulation and intervention. And that will be a growing problem. And I know that everyone thinks it's a great thing, and the Rod Sims has promised all of this milk and honey from his interventions, but it actually won't be like that in practice. I guess the other thing that is really notable is quite a step change in the way that the investment occurs in the market. He's basically conceded that investment's not happening, which is kind of my concern. But interestingly, he never once, except for a very oblique reference and sort of halfway through the report, mentions that the reason why we're not getting investment in the generation sector is because of the acute uncertainty and risk associated with no certainty around carbon pricing. Never mentions it. It's a bit like Basil Fawlty not mentioning the war. And it's a real problem here. And so instead of directly addressing that problem, because he just sort of waves that away to the National Energy Guarantee, instead, he says what needs to happen is that the government basically needs to underwrite investment, and so then the question is, which investment, you know, is it that the government or taxpayer is underwriting? Well, at the moment in the market, there's no trouble at all getting finance for wind or solar generation or even gas. The real troublesome finance to get is that for coal-fired generation. So it kind of follows that if the government's in there assisting generators get finance, the only ones that actually do need that assistance are the coal-fired generators. So really what Rod Sims has put in place is a mechanism to help coal up. And if you think coal's good, well, you'll be happy about it. If you think coal's bad, then you'll be unhappy about it. But nonetheless, it does mean that the government's intervening in this market even more directly, and aside from, you know, quite a big commitment, multi-billion-dollar commitment to Snowy Hydro, the taxpayers now really basically funding virtually all new generation across Australia. There's no private sector risk being taken at all in generation anymore. The taxpayer and electricity consumers are subsidising all of it.
It seems more ideologically driven than market driven, then.
Oh, this, I mean, it's referred to as the national electricity market, but it's the renationalisation of the market by stealth really started happening, you know, I guess with Snowy, but then Finkel accelerated it, and now Rod Sims has cemented it. So you can forget private sector investment. And if you think that's a good thing, that if the market's to be eventually renationalised, well, that's what will come of it. But it does mean, of course, that governments need to get the public finances in place, because it will cost billions and billions and billions to reach the Paris target. So it's really important that governments work out what taxes they're going to increase or what spending they're going to elsewhere they're going to reduce to accommodate these payments, because the private sector won't be doing it.
First and foremost, a lot of the politics is revolving around the hip pocket of everyday Australians, though. The everyday Australians concerned about the surge in their electricity prices. If regulation isn't going to do it, what kind of recommendations, what kind of changes would you like to see to actually, actually help out with electricity prices?
Well, there's three major causes for to answer that question. You can understand the three major causes for electricity price rises. One is the network prices, the poles and wires that you see around the street and the big high voltage lines. That's by far the biggest increase. And the reason that that has increased so much is because all the state governments back in 2006-07, from that point on, really amped up the, reliability standards on the networks. And that's really hideously expensive because there's already a very expensive network. And so, you know, when Rod Sims runs around and says that the networks are gold plating, they didn't have a lot of choice, to be honest. they were required by law to meet these reliability standards, and you can't do it for nothing. And so they had to spend a lot. And the moment that the cost of those started coming through, consumers started to jack up, understandably, because consumers never actually asked for these much tougher reliability standards. Politicians decided it on behalf of consumers. But mostly consumers haven't noticed any difference at all, but they have noticed a very big difference in their bill. The second biggest cost relates to generation, and that's almost certainly because of carbon pricing and the uncertainty of that. The government has done it's now putting in place the National Energy Guarantee, but in the meantime, we've lost thousands of megawatts of power stations, and that means that there's a shortage of supply relative to demand, and then price has gone up. And then the third cost is the renewable scheme, solar and wind schemes. They're not as expensive as most people think because there's not a lot of it, but they are the three major causes. So if you want to fix things up, you've got to stop amping up the standards on the networks. You've got to find a way of smoothing those costs over a long period of time, for example, but making sure that investors recover their costs. There has to be some bipartisan political support for a carbon pricing scheme so that investors actually know that if they invest in that scheme, it's going to stick. And it's hard to believe that that's ever going to happen. And these renewable schemes need to be streamlined so they actually are integrated as part of the whole energy market rather than sort of sitting alongside of it, disrupting it in a way which causes really inefficient behaviour. That's not to say that you shouldn't get the same level of renewables, but there's much better ways of managing the those renewables entry into the market. So that's what really should have happened. Instead of marching in and telling everyone to reduce their costs and to asking a dog not to bark. I mean, it's not going to work.
Well, Danny, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your insight. I really appreciate you joining us on this one this morning.
No problem. So I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.